Welcome to another audio interview for the Mystery Writers of America New York website chapter and our members and anyone else who happens to enjoy listening to it. This is Mark McNeese. I'm a board member and I'm also the communications team lead, and I have been thoroughly enjoying talking to members and authors and learning all about them and what inspires them. Today we're talking to Crystal Roberts. Crystal was an Emmy-winning TV news producer and video editor. Crystal was an adjunct professor of journalism at Hofstra University. She served as a contributing editor at blogher.com. As a Brooklyn native with a passion for puzzles, it's not surprising she enjoys putting together the pieces of a good mystery. She's an avid tennis fan, loves to travel, and her obsession with the Great British Baking Show gave rise to her appetite for baking. Crystal, how are you today?
Okay, Mark, how are you?
I'm very good.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yes, it's delightful to talk to you. Where do you live?
I live in Long Island. I'm a New York girl. I grew up in Brooklyn. I lived in New Jersey for a while, and then I eventually moved to Long Island. I like being near the beach.
Oh, nice. Well, give us the 411 on you. Tell us a little bit more about Crystal.
Well, as I said, I grew up in Brooklyn. I'm an only child, so I'm a little bit of a control freak. Sometimes only children can be that way. But my mother was a school teacher, and our family was very much about education and reading. So I grew up being an avid reader, and I loved mysteries. And like so many mystery writers, grew up on Nancy Drew. As a young adult, loved Dick Francis, and then eventually Elizabeth George, and always thought of myself as a writer, but could never get a book down, could never get it together. I had ideas, I would start things, I would never finish, and then life got in the way. I went to NYU, got a degree in film and television, and started working in the TV business. And writing was just kind of went by the wayside. And it wasn't until about 10 years ago that when I started blogging, that I started to get the writing bug again. And all of a sudden, my fear of showing my work to people, because I was blogging and I had to post once a week and post on my own blog, it didn't bother me as much. And that was really, really helpful to kind of get me to this point to be able to finish a novel and try and query it and get it published.
Well, just a little bit about that. You were the runner-up for the Leon Burstein Award that's given out by the Mystery Writers of America New York chapter. I know we're not going to say too much about it. It was called A Killing in Black Newport, or is called that. How long were you working on the book?
I started working on the book in 2017. It's almost about 7-8 years now. And it's changed a lot since then. And I started it because I saw that actually Elizabeth George was doing a masterclass in Italy. And I was at a point where I said, look, you're either going to write or you're not going to write. Come on, when are you going to do it? If you're not going to do it now, when are you going to do it? And I decided to take that class, and it was the best thing I ever did. I learned a process for the first time. She was working on a book called Mastering the Process about writing, and she used our class to kind of work out what she was going to put in the book. And even though I don't use exactly the process that she describes, it gave me the freedom to figure out what works best for me. And she was also an excellent teacher. The women I met there were amazing, and she was very encouraging. And that's what really kind of launched this book. And as I said, it's changed a lot since then and gotten much better. But that's when I really started it.
Can you encapsulate your process a little bit? What is that?
Well, basically, I start off with the characters, who I want them to be, what characters I want to see in the book. And then I also had a plot. I had an idea. I had a murder victim. I had a murderer. And I had a reason for the murder to happen. And I wanted the main character to be a journalist. I wanted to see characters more like myself that I grew up with that I usually don't see in mystery novels, at least when I was growing up. You see it more now. I wanted more of a multicultural character list. People, you know, Black families that had money, that vacationed at the shore, that, you know, had homeownership, that kind of thing. So I got the characters together. I figured out the plot. I figured out where I was starting and where I was going. And then the tough part was getting everything else in the middle. So now that I'm working on my second book, I'm kind of doing it the same way. Started with the characters, have a murderer, have who the murderer is, I have a motive, and now I have to start to flesh out everything else.
Do you have an actual writing routine time-wise? For instance, I write pretty much every morning. I sit at my desk. I don't always write, but I have that routine that I've maintained for many, many years.
I would love to say that I have a set routine where I write every day from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. I don't. I wish I could. I kind of write as I write. I try to write a few times a week. Sometimes, like I said, life gets in the way.
Many times.
So I will sit and write for 6 or 7 hours with some breaks in between and then not write for 2 days. And then I'll write every day for a couple of hours every day. So it kind of depends. I'm trying to get myself into a better rhythm, especially now that I'm starting this book and trying to get words on the page. When I was working on A Killing in Black Newport, what helped, it wasn't that good, but when during lockdown, I was writing every single day because I was at home most of the time. Mm-hmm. And so I got a lot accomplished. I'm sure many writers did during that period of time. So I'm trying to build myself back into a routine of several times a week, as many hours as I can. I do try, when I sit down, at least get 500 words in, even if they're not the best words and they're not the best sentences and the best crafted paragraphs. I try and get words down when I do sit down.
Now, how about outlining?
I do try to outline. I try to at least have an idea of, you know, where I'm starting. Is it the right place to start? I've started this novel like 3 different times at 3 different places. And I do try to make sure that I know where I'm going. I know what the ending will be. And I try and then plug in scenes that I know that I want to happen. So it's not a formal outlining process, but it gives me like a roadmap. And I have a funny story about how the book should start, honestly. It's interesting because when I was writing A Killing in Black Newport, during one of the drafts, I did a manuscript swap with a fellow writer. And she has an agent and she was published and she was very gracious. I read some of her stuff. She read some of mine. I think we exchanged about the first 100 pages of each. And when she sent back the comments, she said, you need to cut the first 30 pages. And she said, because you're not getting to the body quick enough. And it really slows things down. And I got to tell you, I sat with that. I bristled. And I was like, what is she talking about? It's really well written. It starts at exactly the right place. It sets it up. I've read lots of books that start this way with the slow burn. And then it starts. And then, and I had to sit with that for 2 months almost, until I got to the point where I realized she was right. So when I said, okay, I got to do this, I sat down, I cut off the first 30 pages, I figured out where that information could go in the rest of the book. I rewrote the whole first scene, recreated the whole first 3 scenes and 3 chapters, and she was right, and it's much better, and it starts much better, and it takes off much more quickly. But that was my first big lesson in listen to the criticism, don't bristle immediately, sit with it, and then really look at it as objectively as you can, because a lot of times that criticism will be correct.
That's very good advice, and it's one of the reasons I like to ask about things like that, because the listeners really are mostly, you know, mystery writers or members of our chapter, and you know, maybe future members of the chapter. And it's good for people to know different methods and different experiences. And that kind of struck a chord with me, because one of my books, the murder is like well into the book because it was a character study. That's how I saw it. And I'm going like, okay, a couple people said, you know, the body, it should the body should be there a lot sooner. But anyways, live and learn. So I'm glad to know that. And, you know, to take criticism, to have a thick skin, that's a cliche, but somebody once said to me, don't take anything personally, even if it has your name on it. I think that's a little extreme, but criticism isn't meant personally. It's not an attack on us as people or as writers. It's meant to help us, and we can leave what we don't like.
Exactly. And that's a hard thing. That's a learned thing. And you have to just kind of go through it. It's kind of like rejections from agents. You have to kind of go through it and just accept it and move on and have the confidence in what you're working on. It's interesting because I used to play league tennis, and you know, I worked with a tennis pro, and we had a group. I was playing tennis maybe 3-4 times a week, and we would have our drills and things. And if you work with different pros, one pro will tell you, oh, do your forehand this way. Another pro will tell you exactly the opposite. And then a third pro will say, no, you really need to do this. And at some point, like with writing, you have to decide which one you're going to choose and then stick with it. And take their criticism, you know, listen to where it's coming from and what they're saying. But at the same time, at some point, you have to decide, okay, I'm going to do it this way. And I've taken in what they've said, but I've chosen to do it this way. So I always relate it to it working with multiple tennis pros.
Now, how long have you been a member of the New York chapter of the Mystery Writers of America?
Since I probably joined when I started writing the book, 2017, 2018, probably. I joined Sisters in Crime. I joined the Guppies, that is Sisters in Crime, with Sisters in Crime, a chapter which is for new writers, unpublished writers. I'm a member of Crime Writers of Color. And all of those groups, especially mystery writers as well, really helps with learning about what other writers are going through. And I've also had to learn the publishing business. I knew the TV business. I didn't know publishing. So being a member of all of these groups really has helped to teach me how the publishing business works, what querying is, what's expected, how you deal with an agent, when you get an agent, if you don't get an agent, all of those kinds of things. So it's been very helpful to be a member of all of these groups.
Well, I know that I don't remember if we introduced each other at the Rebels holiday party, but I was there.
I think I did meet you, maybe briefly.
I think so, because that, yes, I think so. And I definitely was, I saw you receive the award.
Yes. And I'm still glowing from that. I tell you, even when I get rejections from agents, I'm like, but I got that runner-up award, so it's okay. I can move on. It really was a confidence boost that, okay, maybe you kind of do know what you're doing here.
Well, I hope we'll be going to some of the, in, you know, the sort of gatherings that they're trying to arrange. Like I said, I'm on the board, and I know a lot of us have wanted to be able to get together a little more frequently, and I'm in Jersey. It's not very likely that I'm going to go to New York City unless it's something that I have to be at, because it's just too much of a chore. But I'm going to be arranging a lunch and maybe a historical tour of Lambertville. I thought that would be fun.
Oh, that would be great.
And I'm sure you've got things you will have things coming up that you can attend.
Well, I have a reading at the library in Manhattan in April that I'm going to be doing. I started a Substack about querying and about whatever else comes up in my head. So it kind of gets me back to that feeling of blogging. And I wrote a couple of posts about querying. So I'm going to read from one of those posts in April for Mystery Writers New York chapter, that one of the readings you guys are sponsoring.
Very nice. Now, how can people find you? Would you know, do a little promotion
here. Yeah, sure. My website, which just got redone, is crystalroberts.com, and my name is spelled CHRISTALRoberts.com. I have a Substack also called Doing the Time, Writing the Crime, and I'm on Blue Sky and Threads and Instagram as Crystal Roberts and Facebook. And I'm not on all of them as much, but I do dip in and out. And actually, some of them are very helpful in terms of, you know, connecting with other writers who are also querying and what they're going through. And we kind of support each other. So that's all helpful. I also do a video for Crime Writers of Color. I produce and edit a video YouTube series called 10 Questions with Crime Writers of Color, where basically our members will answer 10 quickfire questions about their book and about their writing process. And it's usually about, each video is about a minute long. So I do that also for fun. And so, yeah. And I'm, you know, out in the query trenches, sending out queries a few, every couple of times, you know, a couple of times a week. I have a couple of full manuscripts out, which hopefully will get me some nibbles at some point. I'm also considering attending the Crime Writers Festival in Harrogate in the UK in July. So I understand that's like a fun festival to go to. And so I might be doing that this summer as well.
Well, it's been a delight to talk to you. Do you have any parting words, not necessarily advice, unless you want to call it advice, but what would you say to other writers out there, other especially writers who want to pursue it, aspiring writers?
Well, don't stop yourself. I mean, I'm a perfectionist, and for a long time, my perfectionism would stop me because I would be afraid it's not good enough, that somebody has to read it. Put down whatever you need to put down and don't worry about it to start with. Just get the words on the page. Don't worry about if it's the best thing ever written, and then go back and fix it and go back and edit. And one of the parts of the process I love the most is once I have words on a page, to go back and edit and make it better and work on it. Don't let perfectionism get in your way. Just sit down and start to do it. And it will be hard. It's difficult. But just kind of get past that and your own insecurities, because that's one of the toughest parts. And as we just talked about, be open to criticism. Listen to it carefully. Don't react immediately. Give it some time. Sit with it. And then see how you might be able to use it to make your work better.
What you just said reminds me of a bit of writing advice from Anne Lamott, who everybody seems to quote about these things. But when somebody asked her about writer's block, she said, "Stop not writing."
Yes, you know?
And that really stuck with me, because one of my things is that I will find so many distractions, so many reasons to do something else other than write.
Exactly,
and if I just stop not writing, I can move forward.
Exactly. And writing the Substack has been helpful, because even on days when I don't particularly want to work on the book, okay, go write a Substack post. You know, I've forced myself to do it and tell myself it doesn't have to be perfect. It can be short and quick, and I feel like I've accomplished something. So that's what I used to get from blogging, and I like that now. So that helps me write down something, and then I'm sometimes more ready to sit back down. Okay, get back to the book. What are we going to write down today?
Well, Crystal, it's been a delight to talk to you. I hope that I see you again in the city.
Absolutely.
It may not be until the holiday party, but I will hopefully see you again.
We'll see, hopefully sooner than that. But Mark, thank you so much for having me. This has been so much fun.
And you can look for it on the MWA New York website in a day or so.
Fabulous. Thanks so much, Mark.
Thanks. Have a good day.
You too.